This is Twit.
I have mixed feelings about this because, as it turns out, I know a good many people who are doing very well on TikTok, including my son Hank, who's about ready to get to a million subscribers. He's doing, yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God. That's
I know.
Amazing.
I can't knock it. He's also really big on Instagram, so I shouldn't knock either. But when you talk about algorithmic, and I know this from talking to my son, nobody does it better than TikTok, right?
No, no, they're the best.
They're the best.
That's their value.
And he spends a lot of energy thinking, looking and analyzing, okay, it was too long. It didn't get to this fast enough. I need more juicy hamburgers. I mean, he knows it. He's become a master of the algorithm. I tell him, you know, careful, because if you're making your living on TikTok, they could pull the plug at any time. There's a great article in The Atlantic this week by Evelyn Dulick. 1 billion TikTok users understand what Congress doesn't. The video sharing app avoids scrutiny because politicians don't take it seriously. And yet, talk about algorithm. It's benign at this point, but at any point, TikTok could, I don't know what. I mean, isn't everything we just said about Facebook and YouTube double for TikTok? Christina, do you
probably
use it?
Spread quick,
yeah,
quickly.
I do. I mean, I'm not on TikTok, but I use it all the time. Absolutely.
Actually, that's one benefit. You do not have, unlike what you just saw with Facebook, I can go look at my son's site without without joining.
I mean, I have an account. I have an account, but like I don't post content. I'm thinking about it, but I haven't jumped into that realm. Which actually I think is what's interesting about TikTok versus the other social networks, is that it's one of the few. Obviously, there are some people who have personalities and who people can follow them multiple places, but it's fundamentally not connected to who you know in real life. It's, you know what I mean? Like your social graph is about interest.
And that's
right?
Another thing I've noticed. I follow my son on TikTok. So
right.
TikTok, you have two tabs, the For You page, which is their pure algorithmic. And then I thought following, which would be non-algorithmic, I have yet to see Henry's videos in following, even though I'm following him. And I think it's just as algorithmic as a For You page. They still show you what they think you're going to want to see. And for some reason, they think I want to see a lot of bikini-clad young women. I don't know why that is.
Yes.
It's certainly nothing I did. But he does food videos, and I bet you if you were interested in a lot of food stuff, you'd see his stuff. I mean, you must be. Because this video has 41 million views, right?
It can get really kind of like, my girlfriend uses it religiously, but then she'll like start going down the rabbit hole of like cancer information. Not that she has cancer, but she's just curious. The next thing you know, all she thinks
cancer,
all
the time.
On cancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I need it to stop. She's like, I don't want to, it's depressing. I don't want to know all this. And so that is the problem with the algorithm. In the sense of what you're looking for. And it does become sort of your online personality. But then you can just delete the account and start over.
Well, the only thing TikTok is optimizing for at this point, it seems to be, is entertainment. They have the perfect feedback loop. They know exactly how long it took before you swiped up to the next video. Exactly. And they just go, oh, you spent 23 seconds there. We'll give you more like that. 4 seconds there, less like that. And it completely can be automatic. I doubt there's human intervention, although they occasionally will get hit. They apparently, if you were fat, they weren't showing your videos for a while. I think there's human intervention because Henry just started taking a sponsor for the first time. And I notice anywhere where he shows a product placement, it's a spice, and he shows it briefly, like a second, the one-tenth number of views. So I think that they are somehow algorithmically saying, no, we want to make our money, not his money. And so they don't promote that as much. But you can see immediately the effect of the algorithm, very directly. They're doing it benignly, though. Like, nobody's complaining. I'm not seeing... I guess if you followed Donald Trump, you'd see a lot of Trump videos. I don't know.
Is there an argument I just wondered if it was by... I mean, how much of this is by chance? I mean, I don't think entirely, obviously. But there does seem to be almost a... more of a virtuous cycle there in terms of like, if positive content is the stuff that bubbles to the top and far as TikTok goes, then maybe that helps reinforce that as opposed to something like Facebook, which seems to thrive on the negative content. And it could have just as easily gone the other way, but for some reason.
Oh, that's a good point. They could be doing outrage. They're not
optimizing
for outrage. They're optimizing for fun.
For enjoyment. Engagement. Which not is yet. The flip side.
Not yet.
Yeah, right. Not to say that couldn't change. And that they, again, I'm not sure how much of that is just by chance as opposed to something that they like hit upon. But yeah.
It's really interesting. I just... I mean, it's funny because I shouldn't say they've not been scrutinized. Last year under President Trump, he wanted to force him to sell. In fact, There's a Satya Nadella talking at the Code conference with Kara Swisher said that was an interesting thing. What did your boss say, Christina? Autumn. Yeah, it was like it was an odd autumn. And he said he said we didn't go to them. They came to us, which I thought was... We never knew the details of this, but we knew that Microsoft was in the running to buy TikTok. They came to us. We thought it was weird, but then we thought, well, you know, social graph, billions of users. In fact, TikTok this past week beat YouTube in the amount of time people spend watching videos on TikTok. So really
you know,
good engagement.
The fastest to 1 billion users too, right?
Really good engagement. So I understand Satya said, well... I guess, maybe. But then all of a sudden, no, it's going to be Oracle and Walmart.
Right.
And Satya said, they just ghosted us. He said, that was it. We didn't hear from him again. And then, of course, the president ghosted that and nothing happened and it's over. And I guess President Biden has said, well, we're going to look into it, but nothing's come of it.
Right. I mean, the whole way that happened was just so bizarre. Obviously, like I learned the same way everybody else learned whatever details had happened on the Microsoft side from that Code interview. But the whole thing always seemed sketched. And then it was like as soon as, you know, they made like the Oracle Walmart thing, but then nothing happened. Then, you know, Trump lost the election and it was like, oh, well, guess that's not happening.
It's over.
And it's over. You know, the executives, like, guy had left Disney to go to TikTok. Then he had to leave because he was like, hey, I wasn't even part of these conversations. You know, he was like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm supposed to be the CEO of the U.S. version of the company. No one tells me anything. So I have to quit, clearly. You know, like, the whole thing was just bizarre. It was like, okay, well, we're going to, like, come up with this weird... And even, like, the Oracle Walmart thing was like, well, we might have data sovereignty, but we might not. The algorithm and those things might still be owned by China. The whole thing was just so insane. Like, to think about that, that was a year ago, and that was, like, an actual reality thing. The thing that actually happened was that a government tried to force, you know, private businesses to buy...
I should point out, let's not forget that Trump wanted a key fee. He said, and you're going to give me some of that money.
Yes. I'm going to get a VIG on this. Thank you.
He wants a little VIG. They call it, in real estate, New York real estate, they call it a key fee. You get a little something for introducing somebody, a realtor to the buyer. You get a little key fee.
Republicans.
Pardon me?
Sorry, I was going to say, I just thought it was weird that Republicans were like, yeah, the government should step in, force the sale of a company to American companies.
That's who we've always been.
Capitalism is the best system in the world. Yeah. And it was so bizarre.
I got to point out, in their defense, they might have been right, because in the time since, just last month, Beijing forced a big investment in Tencent, their parent company, ByteDance, and they got a board seat on ByteDance. So all of a sudden, the Chinese Communist Party is kind of in the front door of TikTok.
Well, yeah, but we've known that.
Yeah,
you're a major company in China, China is involved. Like, that's how that works. Like, I don't think that's controversial to say that if you're a Chinese-based company and you make lots of money, the Chinese Communist Party is deeply involved in your business.
Yeah, the information reported that China had quietly taken an equity stake in ByteDance. They didn't say they bought an equity stake.
No, they just took it.
They took an equity.
That's ours now.
Yeah. We'll take 30%. That's all. That's good enough for Apple.
Have you seen the Chinese Communist Party's TikToks? Because they're really... I was going to say,
they're really good.
Are they on TikTok?
I don't think so.
Actually,
probably.
I think the Chinese government should be censoring TikTok because the only... Chinese TikToks I see are of horrific manufacturing facilities in China. Well, the one I most recently saw is a sock factory where all the people on the assembly line have their hands resting on their face resting on their hands while they put socks on sock molds. It looks horrible. That's what they should be censoring. Yep. They're not, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure they do in China. I'm sure in China.
Oh, in China they do. Yeah, we know they censor Hong Kong content.
Not the worst thing happening in China by any chance.
All right, okay. Yeah, this is the quote. Satya Nadella told Kara Swisher, the failed Tic-Tac talks, which is hard to say, the Tic-Tac talks were the strangest, thing I ever worked on. Which is probably saying a lot. I imagine Mr. Nadella's worked on some other strange things. He says, I was intrigued. It's a great property. Everybody's seen the growth and what have you. The rest is history. There was a period of time when I felt the U.S. government had some particular set of requirements, and then they just disappeared. Boom. It's over. Bye-bye. Anyway, I don't want to knock TikTok because, like I said, my son probably is going to make his living as a TikTok. So I shouldn't knock it, but... And to be honest, there's an example of algorithm, I guess, done right, right? I mean, it's the TikTok is so engaging. If you watch it for more than a few hours, okay, admit it, Christina, you've seen this video. If you watch it for too long, a guy comes on and says, stop.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right? He says, have a drink. Go get something to eat. Stop. You've been way too long on TikTok, which I think is hysterical. I see that every night.
Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah, no, I mean it's a very engaging platform. They've completely perfected what started, you know, with earlier social networks.
Musical.ly. And it is scary. Were you on Musical.ly? Did you use Musical.ly at first?
I mean, I was aware of it. I didn't use it. I was
lip syncing.
13-year-old. Exactly. It was small children lip syncing. Yes, actually, it was really problematic
with their
in a lot
hair
of ways.
Brushes. Yeah, yeah.
It was actually really problematic in a lot of ways, and it attracted an improper element. Oh yeah,
I didn't think of that.
There was a whole. So I was aware of it because, you know, I worked at Mashable and we covered those sorts of things, but I wasn't on it. It was shocking to me when it rebranded and then it became so big. And they executed, to their credit, they executed hardcore, right? Because a lot of it isn't fundamentally that different than Vine, except the execution. And I think the moment in time was different. And the algorithm, that for you, is just so good. You know, that for you page is just incredibly powerful. And it is kind of scary. You know, I don't know what the solution is, but it does show you, like, okay, you take what Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and some of these earlier services started doing, you know, 15 years ago. And now this is, you know, taking those learnings, but better and more modern and using better technology behind it and with an audience that largely has never grown up without this stuff. And so it's right now, as Daniel was kind of saying, like, this stuff seems to be good, but it could have just as easily gone bad, and it could just as easily go bad, right? Like if ByteDance decided to make changes to their algorithm and wasn't about, like, you know,
joy,
showing joyous joy, exactly. If they're showing, okay, well, you know what? People are bored being happy, you know, or whatnot. And I'm sure that there are some people whose TikToks, because that's the interesting thing about TikTok. Everyone's TikTok is different. It's based on your interests and what you like. I'm sure there are plenty of people who the stuff they see and engage with is not pleasant stuff and is more outrage based. And if that became more of the norm, I mean, gosh, that's, or more propaganda based or more anything.
Well, there is, you know, one example.
Disturbing.
Middle-aged housewife who said, let's all buy tickets to the Trump rally and not show up.
Right.
In fact, some say that's why the president at the time wanted to kill TikTok.
Ban them. Yeah, no, that was the rumor. Yeah, no, and that was hilarious because that went viral because they had the free thing. It was a great troll.
And the Trump campaign thought millions would show up at the rally. They had an outdoor event area set up because they expected so many people and nobody showed up. It was a great...
Herman Cain still got COVID.
He still died.
He died because of that event, yeah.
But that was an example of TikTok being used politically, probably grassroots. I doubt it was the Chinese government that did that, but still.
Oh, no, exactly. But I mean, and that's actually an interesting thing to think about. Like, if governments or if propaganda forces or if other things really wanted to use these, and I'm
they
not even talking about the U.S. per se. That's
they
what
could
I'm saying.
Mess
I'm
with us.
I'm not even thinking the U.S. per se, but, like, look at what happened in Myanmar, right? Like, what happened there was the government figured out that we can use the power of Facebook and this information, and we can spread this and we can create this outrage. And you've seen similar things happen in India, which then becomes ironic that the Indian government are being such fascist about speech.
But this is an example because it's WhatsApp, which is private messaging and is being used in some horrific ways in India and other countries.
Yes.
But what do you do about that? That's private messaging. What are you saying? Should Facebook read every WhatsApp message?
No, of course not. No. If anything, you know, they're trying to. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think that they're so in favor of encryption. They don't want the responsibility,
right.
Which I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, AT&T, it's not like you could sue the phone company back when AT&T was the only phone system. You couldn't sue them for, you know, the way people use the phones.
You now, still can't sue common carriers for what happens on the common carrier. You cannot sue a phone company because people planned it, you know, the 9/11 attack over the phone.
Exactly.
They're not responsible for that.
Right.
So really, the problem with Facebook is we don't know what it is. Is it a common carrier? Is it a platform? Or is it a media company? If it's a media company, if it's a Fox News or an OANN or an MSNBC, then First Amendment says you can't do anything about it because they're expressing a point of view that's protected by the First Amendment. If they're a social platform that says, no, we're not going to put our thumbs on the scale. We just want to connect you with your family members and your loved ones and your high school sweetheart, then that's fine. That's harmless. There's no...
Until terrible things happen.
Right. And they kind of skate because of that whole point.
They're right in between, aren't they?
Right. Because they don't... Yeah. Like, so even on the First Amendment side, there are limits to what you can do under the First Amendment. Speech, you know, is not entirely free, but because we don't regulate them as that, and then the whole section... Now we're verging back into Section 230.
I don't think there's much... the government has not done much to correct Fox News for COVID misinformation, for instance.
Sure, right. The limits do exist, but they're not. I mean, the bar is high.
Yeah.
As it should be. As it should be.
Agreed.
So this is, maybe that is. Maybe that's an interesting choice of words, Daniel Rubino. They're skating. They're getting by by pretending to be a media company when it's convenient, pretending to be a social network when it's convenient.
That's always been their MO, right? Is that's always been the essential question. Are they a platform or are they a publisher? That's always been like the essential question.
And they're a little bit of both.
Yes. And they are. And they are what they are what they are when it's convenient. I think that where it becomes, I think where even their common carrier stuff, WhatsApp, I think, is an easy common carrier argument to make, although that would open up the regulation. I think WhatsApp is very easy to make that. I think Facebook and Instagram are different because it does determine they have a role in their algorithms and in their policies and their procedures on what you see and how you see it and what is uplifted and what is not.
And
they also let you pay to amplify things, right? Like you can do, you know, promoted posts, which is a huge part of how people see content. And that's a huge part of their business.
Right.
And so that, to me, then takes the common carrier element out of it for those platforms because they are a publisher in those senses, you know, even
it's not like the phone company said, hey, I think you'd be interested in some more terrorist phone calls. Would you like those?
Exactly.
They don't do that. They are pure platform. It's really an interesting, we've never seen anything like this before.
The information warfare potential with this stuff is just truly frightening as governments become more aware of how you can weaponize this technology. Like having a phone was one thing, but it's not like, you know, China all of a sudden started calling everybody's phone in the United States and being like, you know, the president is bad or something like that. Like technically
that internally. We don't need China to help.
right. But like that didn't happen. But now with these apps and services, as soon as countries and governments figure out how they can weaponize this stuff, it becomes very dangerous how they can sort of manipulate the algorithm to show content, whether to their own people in their country or other people.
That's the case Ben Thompson makes on Stratechery, is Congress is not going to regulate Facebook because it's too useful to individual members of Congress for their own benefit.
Oh, yeah.
So you're never going to see regulation because governments... He says that's the thing to really fear. As you say, Daniel, that's the thing to really fear. Once governments get savvy enough to say, oh, we can use this. That's what happened in Hitler's Germany. Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister, said this new medium of radio, this is really useful. We can really use this. And they did, to great effect. Now you've scared me. Now I'm really worried.
It is frightening.
We haven't seen anything yet, in other words.